It's recording now.
Somehow, the reason we haven't been recording Luke for a number of days is that when I was in Arkansas, somehow I caught some viral thing from my stomach, some virus. It turned into what's called acute keratosis acidosis, non-diabetic. It means my body was eating itself. And that's why I was never hungry. And it was, Dr. Patton said it was within 2 or 3 days of.
Yeah. We saw that.
But you wouldn't listen to that.
Yeah. I didn't see it.
You don't get to argue anymore when people say go to the hospital.
Yeah.
I didn't argue with Sandra.
No, we'll call her Sandra from now on the very first time instead of the last time.
She didn't put up a question mark about it.
But it was really intense. When I went into the hospital, I knew that I was about to die. I mean, it was just the weirdest sensation in the universe.
Yeah.
But anyway, they fixed me and a whole bunch of changes and medications and stuff. A whole bunch of different doctors.
Man, that's quite a diagnosis.
It scared the crap out of me, put it mildly.
How do you say the words again?
Acute keratosis acidosis.
Isn't it ketosis?
Sounds like a rap, really.
It's ketosis.
Ketosis.
Huh?
I think it's
just like keratosis. Ketosis is what the
nurse
said.
Oh, yeah, it's ketosis. I'm
ketosis.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Acute acidosis, ketosis.
Wow.
A lot of S's, O's.
Yeah.
Something I never heard of. But anyway, I lost much weight, which I probably couldn't afford, and so they got me on a schedule again, back on a rehab thing with physical therapy.
Did they send the long instructions?
To what?
For
they
somebody,
did,
somebody
they did
else?
For his arm.
Well, I mean, you're not going to follow those rules probably, so we got to monitor you. And we're going to post them in the letter.
Along with a mask of Sandra.
All right, that's why we... Sandra's out of town, fortunately. She will go nuts when I tell her what's going on.
Yeah.
All right, we're in Luke.
Do we bring Bibles
over?
Bring
here? The notes or anything? There's a whole stack up there.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff is a servant this morning.
Me.
I don't know where the notebook is. Does John have it?
Oh,
I brought my own.
No, though, this is a notebook. Oh, you're talking about your Bible.
Well, it could be in the layer. Did you check the layer?
Don't worry about it. We're studying Luke. And
get a piece of paper.
But we're going to, this is something that we're going to, sort of gone up a couple days because it's so important. As soon as Pete stops making noise.
As soon as I start banging, stop banging my bowl.
We're in chapter 11 of Luke. And it's the Luke version of the Lord's Prayer is the first thing. And it really should be called the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer to God is John 17. Matthew 6 and here should be called the disciples' prayer. Now it's kind of interesting that the idea is that God teach us to pray. And then in the very act of praying in Matthew, well, let's look at Matthew first, Matthew 6. This is a biggie. Start in verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. No. This is done constantly in American churches. And it's just done without it's done with impunity. There's great whistles blown and trumpets blown or whatever, telling how much money somebody gave. Anyhow, then the next part is even worse. But when thou doest alms, in verse 3, let not thine left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites do, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have the reward. This is why Harry wouldn't go to, well, it's one of several reasons why Harry wouldn't go to a restaurant with him. Because I've many times when I see people holding hands and praying in a restaurant, I walk by the table and said, you've gotten your reward. But it really is. It's a humongous thing. How much we do to be seen of men.
Right.
Now this next, then verse 5, verse 6, I mean. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Well, you've all known, you know what that is, but let's go look at it anyway. Let's first go to Psalm 22, or 27, I mean. Closet, I can't remember the name, I didn't bring my notes on this, but the word closet just means the inner space. It has nothing to do with a closet in a house or a room in a house even, except the house, you as the temple of the living God. And so in chapter 27.
Chapter 27 or 22?
27.
27. I'm sorry. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, and actually the wicked ones, even mine enemies and my foes come upon me to eat me up, to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fall. We've talked about this many times, but it's so easy to forget. The only enemy in time and space is you, your mind. It's never others. And until you see that, you will always walk in deception. You will think there's something that somebody's doing. You'll always end up being a victim. You're the only enemy of God in time and space. Understand that? You as the evil one, your mind. How can that be? It's called the fall. Until that becomes clear, then you will always take positions and have opinions, Tom, and Gary used to be a big idea.
Used to be, yeah.
But please see this.
it's like if you're living your life unto men, then you're out of the closet, so to speak. And you'll be hurt, and you'll be offended, and you'll be prideful, and you'll be waiting for responses.
Right, and you'll again, if whatever you do in thought, in word, or deed, do heartily as unto the Lord. That doesn't mean you're always doing my best. It means you have no investment in the outcome. The moment you have investment in the outcome, it becomes an idol. Above all things, brethren, flee idolatry. Now that's the problem. The church doesn't know what idolatry is. But do you know what idolatry is? Idolatry is a stand in time and space. No matter how righteous and how right that may be, I find then a law. When I want to do good, the evil one is present with me. It never, ever stops. Verse 2, when the wicked one, even mine enemies, and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fall. Do you understand that we are, there's no such thing as a prison ministry to people in jail. The prison ministry is let the captive Jesus Christ in you be revealed. Let him release him from the innermost prison that you have in you. No, that's huge. But unless you know that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, then all this will sound strange. He is come in the flesh. It's finished. It's over. The age of Messiah is here. That's the first thing he said. The kingdom of God is here. It's not coming. It's here. And that's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. Well, where does that leave you? Let's see.
You can believe it or rebel the rest of your life.
Walk in darkness. Think you have light, and how great is the darkness that is in you. Verse 3, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And you gotta understand something. And let's go to one more verse and it'll understand. Verse 4. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. Hallelujah. That secret pavilion is where you live. If you only can see that he is come in the flesh, and that you are the temple of the living God. I remember this clearly. There are two words for temple in Greek. One is hieron, and it means the entire temple complex with the altar, all the sin offering, and all the altars and the labor and all that. But the other is naos, and that's only the holy place and the holy of holies. Now, every time in the book of Revelation, the temple is always only naos. When it talks about the evil one setting himself up in the temple, it's naos. There's no more temple going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. That's a fairy tale, comic book theology. And I'm sorry, Jack. There's $16 billion has been raised thus far to rebuild the Hieron in Jerusalem. How much bloodshed in the history of man since the last 2,000 years has been shed? If you believe what the scriptures say, it would reach the bridle of the horse in the valley of Megiddo. place of the Most High. Because on the Feast of Pentecost, the temple came down. John saw the temple descending as a bride adorned for her husband. And I believe, and I think I can prove that it happened at Pentecost. It never went back up again. The temple is our overriding reality. All of time and space is passing through that temple from west to east, opposite of everything else. But the only temple that is passing through is the holy place and the holy of holies. Now we are sitting in him on the mercy seat, which is inside the holy of holies. We have boldness to enter that throne of grace because we've become accustomed. We live there. Instead of thinking that we have an inheritance sometime, maybe even visiting that place, we are to dwell in it 24 hours a day, never ever leaving that mercy seat. Now that mercy seat that is available to all men is right. It's right here. Come out of her, my people. Out of her is the Catholic Church. Out of her is Babylon. Out of her is living by cause and effect. Now that's why we always return, never ever. In this time of trouble, is trouble here is a general word that means something that you don't think should be happening. It has nothing to do with what we would, our mind would define as trouble. It's something, it's, you think something should be different. Now remember the fall. The fall is the first time that caused man to be able to see himself. Therefore, self-realization becomes his goal. As long as you're self-realization in the name of God, then you're teaching and living by the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the two things Jesus said he hated. Instead of living by that, living by cause and effect, you, anytime there's an issue that you believe is going on, you go to this secret place of the Most High, this pavilion. Do you understand? Because this Lord of Lords, King of Kings, has made his secret place available. All it takes is repentance. What?
I actually agree with that. Tell you what I was thinking, it's when you said something a while ago about fleeing idolatry, the recognition of idolatry is anything you do. If the motivation for your life comes out of your own self in any way, it's about idolatry. But if the motivation is...
Well, even if it's you're trying to do the best for God.
Exactly. But if it's your effort,
it's nothing.
It's idolatry. But
remember, let's go back to Matthew 5. Do what?
Was that the Trinity one?
No, that was my cell phone.
All right. Let's go to 22. Matthew 6:22. It's right after the Lord's Prayer. And it's intimately related to the Lord's Prayer. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light, shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in thee is darkness. How great is that darkness? Remember, evil is partial. And it means to, you have something to do. It means you have a toil. There's something you must do. Do you understand? It's finished. He is your life. He alone is your life. You're the vessel for this kingdom of God in you. Therefore, if thine eye be single, your whole body is full of light. That's all you see is him. If your eye be double, that means you've got something to do. Porneo. There's labor. There's toil. Instead of entering into the secret place of the Most High, lean on your own arm of understanding. You return to cause and effect to try to solve an issue. You ignore it's finished. Oh, that just means something else. Let's go to Psalm 31. Psalm 20, this, and then we'll stop. But this is so important. In we'll start in verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And that means in thee alone. We don't have the strength in English of to saying what that is. In thee alone, nothing about me can I ever trust again. Nothing about flesh can I ever trust again. In thee alone do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. And who is the net that's laid privily for you? It's that those seven high places of your mind. All the activities of your mind that's laid a net privately to ensnare and keep in prison this mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Pull me out of that net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and thou hast shut me up in the hand of the enemy. Did you hear that? Thou hast shut me up in the hand of the enemy.
Not shut me up.
Huh?
Not shut me up.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah. Thou hast not shut me up. What am I saying? Yeah. Okay. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul in my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me.
That's Ronnie wanting to know where I am. Go ahead.
Could you turn it off, please? I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. They took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of my presence, of thy presence, from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. So in another place, we have the pavilion, the secret place. It's another place in Psalm 91. It's under the wings of the cherubim, the secret place of the Most High. That is your closet that you enter into. You never trust in anything outwardly. You always go into that pavilion, the secret place of the Most High, which is there in you because heaven came down to us. See what it really means, it's finished. What?
When you said, talked about trust, and you emphasized the depth of trust, then it just brings light to this.
Amen.
It just explodes.
Well, that was the Lord's Prayer, redeeming, remedial Lord's Prayer.
Scratching the surface.
That was the surface of the Lord's Prayer.
Is that word pavilion similar in the Hebrew as the word closet?
No, it's a secret place.
But yeah,
it's the inner place, the innermost place.
It's obviously
and there, here it is in the outward expression of it, which was the temple.
Yeah.
No, we are the temple of the living God. So now it's, let's go on John 20, or John 14 real quick. John 14, verse 19, yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall all live also. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. All in the secret pavilion, all finished, all waiting patiently. You see, wherever you look, the perfection of his holiness.
That word pavilion struck me as meeting all conditions, every situation. I don't know if that's really what they meant, but no matter where you are, what you're doing, it's the same. You're the same.
Right.
Circumstances
no,
outside you might change. It's like
Revelation 21. I'm sorry, we're late, but we started. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now the word heaven and earth is just gi, and heaven is a rule, I can't pronounce it, but that's the highest, not maybe in highest, it means highest in height, but it also means highest in ranking. We are in heaven now in him. That's why let thy kingdom come in as in heaven, so in earth now, because he came down to us. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. There's no more time. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And it never went back up again. That's our living place. That's our surrounding reality. That's our secret place of the Most High. And you are the temple of the living God. Within you is the seven candlesticks. Within you is the table of showbread. Within you is the altar of incense. But the veil, his flesh, is now open to you. And inside, the Holy of Holies, where you boldly enter the throne of grace, therein is the mercy seat. And on it are you seated. In him. Him and you. You and him and both in God. Now. And that's available this instant to any believer who empties himself. Instead of always having something to do. Some generation. Something next. Something else. Some dispensation. It's just, it makes me crazy. For 2,000 years it's been finished. All right, any response?
Your back.
What?
Your back.
What about my back?
You are back.
Oh, my, I am back.
You're back.
He's back.
You know, that's the only thing that concerned me. It's the same thing it always does. It was just this feeling. I knew I was going to die. The only thing that concerned me was their zeal.
What did it feel like about to die? What was that about? How did it feel?
I was bring it on. I'm ready.
That's what we figured.
Yeah.
But as I said, my only concern was it was their zeal. And will zeal continue? Because it's so easy to not have zeal. But it has to be personal. You have to live it first. The zeal has to be you, not what you do, because the zeal is him. Christ in you, the only hope of glory.
Didn't he give us the Holy Spirit as a down payment? I'm looking at the present day reality, but also a future reality, like you were coming close to death. And then what you were going to is not here in this earth and here and now. And the scripture the Lord shows me all the time is, behold, I am coming quickly. Yes, he's here with us. We have a down payment, but he's still coming. And
right,
he says,
coming, and when he comes, he'll rise up to meet him in the air.
He says, hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more.
Amen. That's what the whole idea of the temple was. There's
yeah,
no well, more. There is no more Hiram.
But I see the present reality of us being temples and his spirit within us. The
but it's more than his spirit. It's him.
Him? Oh, yes, it's him. And yet that is what calls us up at the resurrection, because we are to be resurrected. So there's a present reality and a future reality.
Except beware of those that say the resurrection is past.
The resurrection of the body in that context.
It says resurrection. Beware of them that say the resurrection
Jesus
is past already.
Jesus is the first resurrection, and but there is a future resurrection. Those who sleep in the ground will rise.
No question. We'll rise up to meet him in the air.
That's correct. So
and there'll be no more seed.
A future reality.
There's no more seed. But we live it. That's what judgment must first begin in the house of God.
A pillar in the temple. You're not just a temple, then you're a pillar in the temple.
Well, that's just another parable of the same thing.
Yeah. Well, no, I see the symbolism throughout old and new.
Of course.
That goes. Yeah, but it's consistent.
All right. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.
Josanna, I've got to take somebody to court at 9, so I've got to walk out the door right now. But
John House Carroll.
I let her sleep this morning. Sure.
Oh, perfect. No, it was perfect.
I need
this
more.
Is what
I need.
No, thank you. I always I'm a one cup a day person in the morning.
Do you have time with me? With me and you both
moving.
Need.
I know.
I do. Lunchtime? Is that okay? I have to leave shortly. I'm leaving about 9:30. I'll be back about 11:30.
Okay. We'll be just 11:30.
Okay, we'll do that.
Let's Sunday, just before lunch.
All right, good, perfect.
All right, would you tell Carolyn?
Morning Bible study just broke up. I'm headed down the block right now, so you can wait here and I'll come and get you. You can come with me, whichever you'd rather. Oh, okay. I'll be right there. Bye-bye.
Man, that wore me out.
Pepped you up.
What?
It looked like it pepped you up.
Probably left me a message.
It's probably an evil message.
Yeah, it probably is. Where are you?
All you do is this.
Do something's different.
It's Pete. Where'd Pete go? Oh, here it is. Never mind. Here it is. Here's a switch right here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Just hit it and it says goodbye. See you later.